Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am introducing a new company to the website. I know that a lot of our listeners follow this company. I think a lot of you are already investors. Plus, I have had a few comments on this company from some of the guests, the analysts, and the newsletter writers that I've brought on over the last about month or two, and even into last year's. The company made what looks like a pretty significant discovery. I am chatting with George Salamis. He is the president and CEO of Integra Resources. Integra is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol ITR and on the OTCQX under the symbol IRRZF. Now, George, let's start off by discussing the flagship property in Integra. It is the Delamar property. This is in southern Idaho. There is a resource, a current resource on this project split between the Delamar deposit and this Florida mountain. Take us through, please, just a general review of the current resources out to the market at this Delamar project.
Sure, Corey. Yeah, and thanks for having me on your show, by the way. Appreciate it. First time interview with you. So indeed, a really interesting project that we acquired from Kinross coming up on 3 years ago, which is the Delamar project in southwestern Idaho. And, you know, at the time, we had just come off the sale of Integra Gold to Eldorado in Quebec. And we were looking for a project that had that same sort of similar flavor. Brownfields project, once owned by the major mining companies, dormant, key piece to this, which was kind of a key piece to the Integra Gold story, was, you know, this was an asset that was very profitable, but it was shut down during the lowest of the low gold price environment back in the sort of late 1990s, early 2000s. And so that's essentially what Delamar is. Kinross ran it as a successful mining operation for the better part of 20 years. Bulk tonnage, low grade deposit is what they were producing on. It did have a second element to its history, though, which was quite intriguing, which was like the Wild West of Idaho mining, if you will, in which they mine these very, very high grade underground veins that sat underneath that bulk tonnage, low grade that Kinross was mining away happily for 20 years. So it's got those two elements to it. And there's a lot of historical data that we kind of started out with, which is a massive leg up. We, you know, 2,500 drill holes that made up these two deposits, Delamar and Florida Mountain. And so for us, the marching order 3 years ago was first define a resource base based on the historical drilling and some new drilling, confirmatory drilling mostly, that we did. And we came out with our first resource estimate a couple years ago, tipping the scale at sort of just over the 2 million ounce mark. Roll the clock forward to today, we're sitting at about 4.5 million ounces of gold equivalent in the ground. So it's a big resource base, one of the largest in the Western U.S. A key point to that is really 90% of that resource base is M&I category, measured and indicated. So really important starting point for us in terms of, you know, what could this asset look like on a developed basis? And so we moved to a PA study level last year. September is when we put that out. And the economics of that study were quite compelling. And an important part of that study was, you know, being able to demonstrate to our shareholders that we could build a meaningful project and mine out there with not a lot of capital. Came in under 200 million Canadian. So, you know, the best of two worlds, really, a really big resource asset base in a tier one jurisdiction on a project that we could finance and build ourselves if we wanted to today.
Okay, so a couple other points on that PEA, an after-tax NPV at a 5% discount of about 472 million Canadian, IRR of 43%. And this was all done at a gold price, US dollar-wise, of $13.50 and a silver price of $16.90. So silver, a little bit higher than that. Gold, substantially higher than that. What sort of leverage does this project, just in the production scenario here, produce at these higher gold prices?
Yeah, so in terms of the economics or what's driving the economics of the potential production scenario that we put on the table last year in the PEA, about 80% of the economics from that study were derived from gold. So it's got its sort of its maximum leverage is really is to gold more than silver in that study. So, you know, if you're looking at, for example, and I'm going to switch to US dollars now because that's where my brain's been thinking for the last couple of months, Corey. If we start looking at gold prices in the context of the current range, let's just call it $1,700 US, and we'd be looking at NPV5s of upwards of $600 million US dollars. And so, you know, a lot of leverage to gold price there, obviously. IRRs at that rate sort of past the 60% mark after tax. So really, really robust. And, you know, we had a view of that early in the day on the PEA. There's lots of different points you could stress this project at, be it recoveries, be it CapEx, be it OpEx, or gold price, and you still end up with a really robust project in the end of the day. So, you know, that was one of the critical elements for us.
So one other note about this PEA is that it really only included about 2 million ounces, gold ounces, in this PEA. What can you share with us in terms of the potential, at least near-term developments when it comes to a production scenario here?
Yeah, you're quite correct. So the PEA that we put out only really tackled, you know, less than half of the 4.5 million ounce resource. I think it looked at about 1.8 million ounces of that resource. So there was a lot of other gold and silver that was not in that study, let's just say. And so, you know, a couple areas where we can look at, you know, increasing production profiles, for example. The current PEA that's still live, is still active, shows us producing about 125,000 ounces per year of gold equivalent over a 10-year period, you know, $80 million a year of cash flow, so a significant money generator at this project. But, you know, there's a way you can scale this project up if you really wanted to. Obviously, the gold, a different gold price and silver price input is going to have a major effect, right? You're now what was waste at one time, you know, at a higher gold price becomes ore, your open pits become bigger. In terms of the geometries of the open pits that we're looking at out there, you know, if you're looking at a bigger open pits, you're not walloping the strip ratio because you're mining topography and geography out there that works with you. So that's one upside case. Obviously, that's the most obvious. The second one would be what we're looking at right now, which is the high grade resources. As I mentioned earlier, what the old timers mined underneath these deposits, which we barely scratched. We've got a couple drill holes into some of these zones right now. The results that we put out last year on those high grade shoots, we're calling them vein zones, feeders, you know, spectacular grades. And if we can start to look at high grade resources now, all of a sudden underneath the low grade open pits, let's just say, then processing that high grade material through a small mill, which was part of that PEA anyway, starts to look really attractive. You're displacing basically low grade feed of about a gram per ton into that mill with something that looks like, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 grams maybe. And that's a game changer. That mill then starts to print money seriously. So that's what we're kind of looking at on an upside basis. And then there's the third piece, which is a lot of that material that we left out of the study is sulfide. There are three different types of mineralization out there. There's the oxide and the transitional material, which is amenable to heap leaching. Then there's the sulfide material, some of which is amenable to milling. What we left out of that study is there's a significant amount of sulfide material there, which we believe can be milled as well. And so, you know, all the vectors are pointing to, in our view, at some point in the future, 200,000 ounces or more of production per annum.
Okay, let's talk about some of the exploration, because that is something that can really move the stock in the near term. And it follows up on a very impressive drill result that came out late last year at War Eagle and Florida Mountain, which included just over 73 grams per ton gold and over 800 grams per ton silver over a little more than 4 meters. That's at War Eagle. Take us through some of those recent drill results from last year that have you guys excited about the program this year.
Yeah, so and that program is really going to be focusing in the next, it's focusing now, as a matter of fact. So we're drilling on Florida Mountain at depth, essentially below the resource boundary, where we believe the old timers were mining a significant amount of high grade. We put out some results last year from Florida Mountain that really spoke to that high grade. We were getting sort of, you know, 8 to 20 grams per ton over 3 to 5 meters, let's just say, that sort of range. And we believe that there's lots more of that. So we're drilling that now as we speak. We should have some results out of that in this, call it the next 2-3 weeks here. So that's looking good. And then in the context of War Eagle, what you alluded to, that spectacular hit of 73 grams and 800 grams silver over just over 4 meters. That's part of a zone that was historically mined, again, back in the late 1800s by the what we call the old timers who mined underground. And we're on strike from one of the richest lodes in the western U.S., the War Eagle lode, the two veins, the Poor Man and the Orofino, which were known for some spectacular grades. Well, that's where that intercept came from, and we'll be moving a drill rig out to War Eagle in towards the end of July. And we've got about 5,000 meters of drilling planned for that. That's a zone that could grow big pretty quickly based on the geometries that we see there, and could be extremely high grade as well. So really excited about that.
So in total, how many meters are planned for this year at the general De La Mar project?
So we've got about 16,000 meters of drilling planned. So 5 to 7, call it at Florida, another sort of 5 at War Eagle. And then there's this third area called Black Sheep, which is, it's not quite as advanced, but it's a vast area. And it's really sort of a stone's throw away from Delamar itself, the 3.3 million ounce deposit of Delamar. And every indication that we have so far in this area is that it's got all the same attributes and hallmarks that Delamar does. It just, it hasn't been drilled. It's got these vast geochemical anomalies that are associated with it. It's got these vast geophysical anomalies that are associated with it. And really not much in the way of drilling. The odd drill hole that is out there that was done in the sort of the 1970s, if you will, came back with some pretty good grades, but for whatever reason, it's an area that really wasn't looked at. So we're really excited about that area. That area should see 3,000 to 4,000 meters of drilling in of itself.
Okay, I will post a picture, an image from the company's presentation that does just generally break down where these targets are: the Florida Mountain, De La Mar deposit, War Eagle, and Black Sheep. I will also post a link below to the Integra Resources presentation for everyone to follow along. As a general comment for the exploration this year, it really sounds like you guys are targeting high grade and newer areas. This isn't necessarily just near-term resource expansion, is it? This is almost true exploration.
That's correct. So, and you know, one of the things that few people realize, and we have to basically get that message out, is over the course of the last 2.5 years, most of the drilling that we've done is really been just confirmatory drilling, if you will, just to upgrade the resource to an M&I category. And so we haven't done a lot of sort of what I'm going to call pure exploration drilling out there whatsoever. So this is our first year literally of doing that. And we're quite excited about the targets that we have, you know, and there, some of them are, you know, immediately adjacent to resources, and some of them are kilometers away from, you know, what's known. So, you know, exciting elements on both streams. We are doing mostly high grade exploration for the time being. Some of it will be bulk tonnage, low grade exploration as well. There's some, what I call no brainer bulk tonnage, low grade targets that, you know, we think that we'll intercept along the way, but most of it, this year's exploration is focused on high grade indeed.
All right. As always, if anybody wants more information on the targeting, the general company, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. George, give us just a quick little background on your history in the resource sector, please.
Sure. So I've been in the mining business now for just over 30 years, and I started my career as a geologist working at a mine site in northern Quebec, which just it happened to become Integra Gold's main asset, which was sold to Eldorado just recently for $600 million. But that's where I started my career. Worked for major mining companies, two of them for about half my career, better part of 15 years. And then sort of in the early 2000s, joined the wild west of junior mining, if you will, and you know, have had some successes along the way, built up assets, been in the production game, sold assets to majors along the way. So that's kind of what I do as a career, not just sell stuff, but also be part of building and operating as well.
All right, quick other couple notes here. Share structure, just under 120 million outstanding, right around 130 million on a fully diluted basis. From my research, I see that about 65 to 70% of these shares are held by institutional funds, mostly resource investment funds, it looks like. Quick update on the cash position here. Where does the company stand?
Currently, as of today, we sit at just over $23 million in the treasury. So we're in good shape in terms of being able to fund all the exploration that we're doing this year, fund the pre-feasibility study into the first quarter of next year. So we're in good shape financially.
Okay. And final comments here, news flow expectations as we progress in, let's say, the next 3 to 6 months.
So we started off, with one drill operating post quarantine, I guess, in Idaho about 3 weeks ago. And that one rig is going to scale to three here pretty soon, and then four into the latter part of the year. And so the news flow is really going to pick up here. We should see the first results from the first round of drilling coming up in the next, I'm going to call it sort of 2 to 3 weeks time from now. And then there's going to be just a really steady stream because we just have so much drilling on the go between now and the end of the year. Expect a news release every sort of 6 to 8 weeks on the exploration front.
Okay. Hey, George, I appreciate this general introduction. I know there are a few moving parts in this company, so please, everyone, email me with your questions, fleck@kereport.com. I'll follow up with George and the team when we start to see some of these drill results and, well, hopefully just further confirming and building on some of the recent high-grade results from last year. George, appreciate your time. Have a great rest of your week.
Corey, it was a pleasure. Thank you.